Yeah, my name is Gisela Böhm. You have heard my name a few times before in Chasti's presentation. So I am the psychologist in Chasti's project group. And I am professor for psychometrics and research methods at the University of Bergen. My work is related to, in general, to risk perception and decision making. And large parts of my work are focused on risk perception, lay people's risk perception with respect to climate change. And today I want to focus on one aspect of my work, one facet, and that is emotions. Emotions with respect to climate change. And here's a short overview of what you can expect. I would like to start with looking at emotions in general. What are emotions and how do emotions relate to climate change? And then I want to integrate the concept of emotions into a more general model of human evaluation of environmental risks. You can see the different stages of this model here. To begin with, I'm going to show you some pictures, pictures that relate to climate change and other environmental risks. And I just want to ask you to look at these pictures, let them sink in, and just observe yourself what emotions you experience when you look at these pictures. For what I want to say, and the point that I want to make, actually, Karin Nurgard's presentation yesterday has pretty much laid the ground. What these pictures are supposed to illustrate is first that we do experience emotions with respect to environmental issues, and sometimes quite intense emotions, and that these emotions can be very diverse and specific. For example, you may have experienced sympathy or pity with respect to the suffering chicken in the mass forming place. You certainly experienced pity when you saw the oil-stained duck. I guess the oil-stained duck also raised some outrage with respect to the one who was responsible for this oil spill. Air pollution may trigger some disgust, maybe, or fear of becoming ill. The cancer certainly triggers fear of illness. And the climate change may be something like worry, maybe helplessness. So when we experience emotions, they're always targeted at something. And when we experience specific emotions such as fear, anger, outrage, and the like, then they actually carry a very specific meaning. And they do tell us something about how we categorize an event and how we perceive an event. So emotions carry semantics. For example, when you experience outrage with respect to this oil-stained duck, well, that implies that we believe that somebody acted irresponsibly and could have done otherwise, that a person who was aware of the potential consequences took the risk either out of negligence or for some inferior motives, such as greed or profit seeking. So a whole narrative is actually activated in our minds based on our world knowledge and on previous incidences, similar incidences. And the emotions that we experience reflect these narratives. And concrete emotions differ in these meanings that they imply. Sadness implies that somebody has experienced a loss that he or she considers irreversible. Sympathy, when we experience sympathy, that implies that we identify with the victim. If we don't identify with the person suffering the harm, then we are indifferent. Or we may even experience Schadenfreude, but not pity. Regret means that we think we have done something wrong and that we would like to undo it. Disappointment, similar to regret and yet different, also implies some negative outcome, but we don't feel responsible for it. So you see that these concrete emotions, they have very specific meanings and very differentiated shades of meanings. The psychological theories that deal with this aspect of emotions are summarized under the heading appraisal theories of emotions. So that's a family of theories that share a basic assumption, namely that emotions are elicited by a specific pattern of cognitive appraisals, as I have illustrated before. And many of these theories, in addition to that, also assume that concrete emotions then in turn trigger specific behavioral tendencies. So if we feel sympathy, we are inclined to help. If we feel outrage, then we are more seeking punishment and retaliation, for example. So with this in mind, let's have a short look at climate change and what sort of phenomenon climate change is and what emotions we can expect to be relevant when we are talking about climate change. So first of all, I don't have to outline this in any detail to this audience here. Humans do assume very different roles with respect to climate change. So we are, on the one hand, we are causing the problems, which makes us the perpetrators. And on the other hand, we suffer the consequences. So we are victims. And we also are the only ones who may try to solve the problem and master the problem. When we look at the structure of these different steps, then we can see that it implies appraisals and emotions. So for example, the causation is cumulative. So we are talking about a problem that is caused by the actions of very many people, so that each individual contribution is actually negligible. So turning that into an emotional experience, that is the basis for the helplessness that Karin Uber mentioned. So people feel that they, as an individual, cannot do very much about climate change. It also means that as individuals, they do not tend to assume much responsibility and do not experience guilt. When we look at the consequences, the victims and the perpetrators can be different groups of people. The problem is mainly caused by the industrialized countries. So that turns climate change into a social dilemma. And I think I also don't have to convince anybody in this room that climate change is an ethical issue. Looking at this aspect of climate change, we see that social emotions being based on considerations of justice, of trust, and the like become relevant. So again, we're talking about outrage, but also in the positive sense, gratitude, for example, if some negotiations are positive. And then when we look at the mastery side, when people do implement actions and do something positive, they may be proud about it. So pride is another potential. So based on these considerations, and especially on the idea that when we are talking about such environmental risks as climate change, that we are always also talking about ethical issues. Based on this idea, we have developed a model of the risk evaluation process that I want to briefly sketch. And the starting point is the idea that any kind of evaluation is based on a mental representation of the problem, and that the most important aspect of that representation are causal beliefs. So this is a mental representation consisting of beliefs about who causes what, who are the victims, who are the perpetrators, how serious are the consequences, is there anything that can be done about it, and so on and so forth. The next assumption is that on this mental representation, two types of evaluative processes operate, and that these two types are associated with specific cognitive evaluations with specific emotions and also with specific behaviors. So the first type of evaluation is a consequentialist evaluation, meaning an evaluation that is focused on the consequences. So here people look at the consequences, anticipate them, and think, well, how serious are they? What can happen? That refers to risk perception in the narrow sense. Typical cognitive judgments referring to the consequences are the severity of consequences or their probability. Such evaluations give rise to what we call consequence-based emotions. Fear is a prototypical example. Fear based on the anticipation of some future harm. And these consequence-based emotions are then assumed to trigger consequence-related behaviors. That means behaviors that are aimed towards preventing, alleviating, or avoiding the consequences. So for example, it's helping victims. The other evaluative route is a deontological route. That is an evaluation of people or their actions with respect to moral values. Typical cognitive judgments relate to justice or responsibility. These appraises then give rise to what we call morality-based emotions, and outrage is a typical example here. These morality-based emotions then trigger agent-related behaviors, meaning behaviors that are targeted towards the responsible agent and often aim at retaliation or punishment. So you see that here in the middle, this model implies a classification of emotions and a distinction of emotions in consequence-based and morality-based ones. And we have subdivided these two types into each of them into two subtypes. The consequence-based emotions, they can be distinguished on a temporal dimension into prospective and retrospective emotions. Prospective emotions are based on the anticipation of future events, fear, or anticipation when we look at positive events. Retrospective consequence-based emotions are triggered by events that have taken place in the past, sadness. Morality-based emotions we distinguish according to whether blame is ascribed to other people or to oneself, and typical self-related morality-based emotion is guilt, and other related morality-based emotion is outrage. I would like to present a study in which we have tested this classification. We presented a whole number of environmental issues, a long list which you can see on this slide. And for each of these environmental risks, we asked to what extent people experience the emotions that you And this slide shows a factor analysis of these emotions. And you see that this factor analysis very nicely reproduces the four emotion types that we theoretically distinguished. So here are the morality. Here are the retrospective consequence-based emotions, sadness. The self-related morality-based emotions, guilt, and prospective consequence-based emotions, such as fear. And we've shown this in several studies, so this pattern seems to be quite robust. This is the average emotional reaction across all environmental risks. You can read this as maybe a prototypical emotional profile for environmental risks. And you see, again, looking at the semantics of emotions, you see at the top are fear and worries. So the anticipation of future harm is the strongest cognitive component when people think about environmental risks. Then we have anger and outrage. So people tend to blame others for these things. They experience regret, so they wish they could change something, but they think they cannot. They experience hopelessness. And another aspect, when we look at the bottom, here we have emotions such as guilt and shame that imply that people assume responsibility themselves and blame themselves. And you see that these are the reasons. So this is not taking place to any large extent. Here is these are the environmental risks, and this configuration is based on the emotional profiles. And so here we can see which environmental risks trigger which emotions. And we see outrage is triggered by things that that's chemical dumps. So outrage is triggered by events that imply a clear responsible agent. Guilt is strongest for things like this is carbon pollution from cars. And the two consequence-based emotions, fear and sadness, they are strongest for species. The natural events like volcano eruptions and earthquakes, they generally trigger the weakest emotions. Now these are existing environmental risks that we presented and asked people about what emotions do you experience when you think of these things. In another series of studies, we approached this experimentally, meaning that we wanted to manipulate and to vary the cognitive representation and then see how the emotions change in response to it. So we try to manipulate the mental representation here at the beginning and then try to sketch the whole process across the three steps, cognition, emotion, and behavior. And we used that by presenting fictitious risk scenarios. And we had a whole range of them. Here's one example that we used. All these scenarios, they have like one core event. Here it is spores from new water plants that accumulate in a river. And what we manipulate with respect to these scenarios, or did in this study, is that we varied the causation and the consequences of the event. So, for example, here this is caused by the one particular fun park called Ocean World. This is causation by one identifiable agent. In another condition, this was replaced with the individual aquaria of many single households. So this is then corresponds to the cumulative causation as we find it in climate change. On the side of the consequences, here we have the version where the resulting health effects may actually affect the person, him or herself. And in other conditions, we vary that so that either no consequences were to be expected, or the consequences were to harm only the natural environment, or humans, but not the person, him or herself, or the version that you just saw corresponds to this condition here. And here are the conditions that we had on the causation part. Natural cause, the spores were brought about by migrating birds. Cumulative causation, the individual aquarium. What these two factors imply for the causation, these different versions of the causation, they increase in the ease with which we can ascribe responsibility to a particular agent. So the identifiability of the agent increases going down to the bottom. And here is the personal relevance of the consequences. That increases again, going down. With respect to the dependent variables, we covered all three stages of the model, cognition, emotion, and behavior, and we had the two evaluative routes, the consequentialist one on top and the deontological one at the bottom. I don't think I have to go into all of them, but we can maybe focus on the emotional part here. So we measured consequence-based and morality-based emotions in response to the scenarios. And we find two effect patterns. One is related to the consequences. And with the consequences, it is these dependent variables that vary with the consequences, perceived risk, the consequence-based emotions such as fear and the tendency to help. So the more self-relevant the consequences are, the more fear increases, and with that also the tendency to help increases. The other effect pattern that we find is for the deep independent variable causation. And here we see that the causation affects the deontological path of evaluation. So the more people can ascribe responsibility to one identifiable agent, the more they experience morality-based emotions, such as outrage, and also the more they are inclined to show aggressive tendencies. So in summary, the results of this and of other experiments, depending on whether people focus on the consequences of an event or the morality of the event, they either experience fear and a tendency to help, or outrage and a tendency to aggression. And what directs the focus, people's focus, is the personal relevance of the consequences on the one hand, and the ascription of responsibility on the other hand. There's a very new study that just came out a couple of weeks ago that shows a very similar picture and also had a very similar approach. So here the authors presented fictitious newspaper articles on climate change. And they had two versions of it. In one version, the study took place in Germany. In one version, they emphasized that Germany is among one of the main polluters of climate change, and in the other version, they emphasized that Germany is among the people who invest the most in environmental protection. So they measured very similar as we did. They measured concrete emotions, and they showed that the polluters version triggered anger and guilt, whereas the environmental protection version triggered pride. And in the next step, they could very nicely show that each individual emotion mediated exactly one behavioral tendency. So anger increased punished tendencies to punishment. Guilt resulted in the intention to repair, and pride to what they called in-group favoring protection, so protective measures, supporting protective measures, but that are specific to Germany. So we see, to summarize the results of these two or three studies, we do see that specific emotions go together with very specific interpretations of an event, and they trigger specific behaviors. Then, okay, this is the last slide already. Emotions are very heterogeneous and very diverse, and so are their functions and their role that they play in human behavior. And we distinguish four of those. So for example, information, emotions tell us how we feel about something, positive or bad, and whether we are inclined to approach or avoid something. Emotions, when you think of fear, they allow us to react very rapidly. Speeding up our reactions is another function. They direct our attention to the relevant aspects of the situation. They signal what is maybe dangerous. And they allow us to keep our social commitments, guilt, for example, anticipated guilt. We have to think of ethical considerations and not only risk judgments when we look at risk perceptions. Specific appraisals elicit concrete emotions. We saw that we can classify emotions related to climate change into consequence-based and morality-based ones, that these concrete emotions guide environmental behavior, and that the functions that emotions serve or great multiplicity. Okay, thank you.